Sermon text today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read once more verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Join with me, let us pray. Be with us once more today, Lord, as we meditate upon your word and consider how we might make every moment of our day better. Helping us to be better equipped to love and serve you and each other. Lord, so often we go about our days simply out of necessity with giving little thought to our routines and our habits, but I pray that today we would consider these things in new light and find ways that we might start our days better. Grant us these things, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Once more this morning, we return to Moses' words recorded in Deuteronomy 6. And in the previous two introductory sermons from this passage, I simply tried to introduce our new sermon series and just sort of orient us to this passage. Again, what I'm doing in this series is exploring our daily liturgies or our day-to-day routines to consider if we might find ways to use just the ordinary moments of life to help us become more like Jesus and keep God's commandments in all areas of life. Just to review very quickly, thus far, I've argued that we often fail to think about how our habits and rhythms of life have the power to shape us and our children, who often passively learn simply by being exposed to our liturgies or habits. My contention is that we're often formed as much by our habit as we are our intellect, so that if we practice our way into something, we must practice our way out of it if we find a better way of doing it. The reason for this is the Lord has made us in such a way that our heart doesn't merely follow our intellect. It also follows our habits, because liturgies shape us into who we are by repeated patterns. We believe that's true of our Lord's Day liturgy as well as is our daily liturgies, or what I'm calling the liturgy after the liturgy. Last week, I stressed this by claiming not only do we become what we practice, but our children become us. The reason is children aren't merely the product of what you teach and say. They are often more the product of what you practice and do. The good news about this is that sometimes the greatest spiritual work you can do happens simply as you're going about your daily routines. That recognition can give dignity to your daily liturgies, and the realization that sometimes just mundane tasks can provide moments of spiritual growth, not only for yourself, but also for your children. Keeping these thoughts in mind once again, today I want to begin our study in earnest by looking at the first routine we engage in when we wake every morning. In other words, notice in verse 6 of our text, Moses exhorts Israel to keep the Lord's words in their heart. Then in verse 7, he exhorts his listeners to teach the Lord's word diligently to their children. And what follows is a list of circumstances that provide daily opportunities for keeping these words and for teaching them. In Moses' list, he sets forth various circumstances or situations in which a parent might have the opportunity to do the things the Lord commands. He says, parents are to talk of the Lord's commands. He says, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Sitting, walking, lying down, and rising up. Each of these activities, these daily activities we all engage in, and the various postures we assume throughout the day, provide opportunities, Moses teaches, for loving the Lord with all our heart and for teaching children to do likewise. In Moses' list, he places rising up last. I think because of the old covenant, things were evening to morning. But since rising up is the first thing we do every morning, I'm going to tackle it first. You can blame it on OCD if you like. I just like to do things in sequence. What I want to do today is talk with you about your morning routine to consider if perhaps there's a way we can better apply Moses' words, even by the way we simply begin our days. Is it possible you can begin your day in ways that can orient you to walking more closely with the Lord and thus be better prepared to fulfill your calling? Are you beginning your day consciously thinking about this, or do you follow a routine simply out of habit or necessity? I want to think about this for a moment. Please understand, I'm sharing the things I'm learning as I am. I assume we have probably a lot of different morning routines among us. Perhaps some of you are morning people who begin your day with exuberance. You're ready to go from the start. Meanwhile, others of you are normal people who have their wits about them and don't get on other people's nerves. Okay? Some of you are retired. You don't have to wake up to an alarm. You just wake up at 5 a.m. whether you want to or not. For many of you, I assume your mornings are hectic. Perhaps you're getting up and rushing out the door to head to work, or maybe you're trying to get kids up, fed, and ready for school. For others, perhaps the first thing you do every morning is change a diaper. Okay? Whatever the case, we all have a morning liturgy of sorts. Moses tells us that our morning liturgies, our daily routines, provide an opportunity to love the Lord, to meditate on His Word, and to teach our children to do the same. But I fear that sometimes instead of taking advantage of this opportunity, we often function on autopilot driven by necessity rather than a carefully thought out liturgy, which can better enable us to do the things the Lord calls us to do throughout the remainder of the day. Let me illustrate what I mean by considering some of the possible liturgies that present themselves to us by the way most of us rise up every morning. Okay. In our day, most people wake to the alarm on our cell phone. For most, alarm clocks are a thing of the past. And so when the alarm goes off on your phone, you reach over and you turn it off, or maybe you hit the snooze to catch an extra 5 minutes, or perhaps you rise up and turn it off to ensure that you don't go back to sleep. Whatever the case, what we do next is often very telling about our perception of reality, our priorities, and our goals. But what we do next has a way of shaping us at the start of our day by the habits we practice before going about our day. And though we may give little thought to these habits, I think if we pause a moment to consider them, I'll bet you that upon reflection, we'll find that they shape us in many unexpected ways. Go back to what I just said. They shape our perception of reality, our priorities, and our goals. Think about this with me. Since most of us waken to the alarm on our phone, the fact our phone is in our hand at the start of the day presents us with a number of temptations that unconsciously but powerfully have the ability to shape our thoughts and dictate our actions. Set of the possibilities. It's not unusual for me to waken to notifications on my phone from various vendors, from news organizations, or social media platforms I follow. Well, a lot of times I clear them out in bulk. Sometimes the headlines grab me as I learn about an event that, happened overnight while I was asleep. Therefore, the temptation is to click on whatever sensational headline found its way into my newsfeed. And since the old saying, if it bleeds, it leads, remains true in the days of social media, it seems there's always something shocking headlining the news. In fact, with so many different sources of information competing for our attention, I think the old adage of it bleeds, it leads has only become truer. Today, it's about how, another celebrity or politician is implicated in the Epstein files. Or how another person was shot by an ICE agent in Minneapolis. Or how a new set of emails between, Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins shows how they funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan. Tomorrow, the headline is about how another podcaster found evidence linking the murder of Charlie Kirk to the CIA. On and on it goes. Sometimes the headline is true. In our day, many times, sadly, they are true. And sometimes, of course, they're not. But whether true or not, you can guarantee that typically the headline is going to be sensational and it is intended to evoke a response from us. To my point, when I wake up to today's headlines, typically all I hear is how the world is falling apart, how it's ruled by criminals who are engaged in conspiracy. The formative effect of the headlines is to prompt me from the start of my day, prompting me a sense of revulsion, perhaps fear, or anger. That's one of our favorite, right? What is there to be mad about today? Granted, these are often healthy responses to today's headlines. But at the same time, the headlines can easily distort my vision and reality when I fail to place them into the perspective of what the Bible teaches me about is true about the world. And in turn, the headlines can unconsciously dictate my priorities in ways the Lord doesn't call me to live. See, contrary to today's newsfeed, whatever the story is, the Bible teaches me that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He possesses all power in heaven and earth. The Bible teaches me Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father where He must remain till all His enemies have been made His footstool. The Bible tells me that to Jesus the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as a small dust on the scale. He puts down one, He exalts another. Therefore, the headlines we wake up to don't tell the whole story, because The truth is, the headlines are all in reality just different episodes in the advancement of Christ's kingdom on the earth until the day comes when the earth is filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's the truth. It's a much more fundamental truth. But which version of the story do you rise up to? To which version of reality do you begin your day? Much of that depends on the liturgy we wake up to. Do you wake up to a dream world? Do you wake up in the matrix? Or do you wake up to the reality of Christ's kingdom? I think sometimes how we answer these questions depends on our morning liturgies. See, habits of waking may seem small and unconscious, but they tell us stories about reality that lead us in patterns of worship. That's why how we begin our day determines whether we truly practically believe the gospel of Jesus and thereby live it out as we go about our days. Whatever the case, waking from sleep is a given, but waking to reality is not. That depends on whether we consciously take hold of our mornings or take hold of our morning liturgies to properly orient us to the world in which we live. Consider another alternative version of reality. This is for those of you who, like me, measure your work by how much you can get accomplished in a day and can thereby justify your existence. When you wake, perhaps one of the first things you do is maybe check your emails. Or if you're like me, maybe you have a to-do list on your phone. I have a Todoist app. Maybe that grabs your attention first thing to remind you of all the work you have to do. Worse, maybe some days you wake up before your alarm because your mind wouldn't let you sleep because there's always too much to do and there's never enough time to do it. And so you jump up to the story of reality that says your family survival is dependent on you so that you proceed to rush to get ready and get everyone up on time. After all, the gods of rush and fear and frustration have to be sacrificed to, or else your reason for existence will come to an end, and with it your family's well-being. According to this version of reality, which plagues so many anxiety-ridden, depression-prone Americans, everything depends on you and what you can get done today. As Christians, deep down, we know that's not true. You know you're a child of the King who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He says to you, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine." He invites you to petition to Him, "Give us this day our daily bread," and the realization He will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If all this isn't enough, He's proven His love to you by sending His Son to die for you. Steve Slissel used to say, "How many of God's sons does He have to kill to prove His love for you?" Or in the words of the Apostle Paul, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" In other words, if God has already done the greater, will He not also do the lesser? If God gave His Son to die for you, He'll surely provide everything else you need. And so, despite what your morning liturgy might teach you, the truth of God's Word tells you that your worth and your well-being aren't solely dependent on your performance. time would fail me to speak of other morning liturgies that indulge alternative realities where, you know, the universe depends on you and what you do today. For some, you know, the perhaps the liturgy is starting your day with social media where pictures of other people's lives breathe competition and envy so that you rise up trying to measure up or, you rise up to the task of trying to measure up or, you know, any other alternative morning liturgy that you engage in. So much depends on the habits we practice. That's why I think we all need to ask ourselves about which story of reality we habitually rehearse every morning. Whatever your particular morning liturgy is, you have to ask, does it enslave you to lies? Or is it setting you free by pushing you into the arms of your Father? Does it send you into an alternative reality that says the universe depends on you and what you do today? Or does it send you out into the world better equipped to love God and love others, which is probably the only thing you really have a lot of control over? To put it simply, what if the main priority of your morning is not getting up and getting everyone ready on time, but instead rooting yourself and your household in waking to the truth of the gospel and your responsibility to seek first Christ's kingdom and righteousness, trusting that He'll take care of all the other concerns you have? To that end, I want to leave you today with a few suggestions that I'm trying to put into practice that I think might assist you in seeking first Christ's kingdom and righteousness. As I do, I want to please remember what I said the first week about how I'm not going to suggest you add a bunch of things to your life you don't have time to do. Rather, in most cases, I'm asking you to consider adopting different liturgies than what you're currently practicing. In other words, you already have a morning liturgy you follow. I'm merely suggesting you consider altering it or adopting a new one in its place. Okay. First, three things today. First, I assume you all likely say a prayer very early in your day. You're Christians, right? Maybe the moment your alarm goes off or something. Lord, help me today. Whatever. I assume you all likely say a prayer very early in your day. Perhaps you say a brief prayer as soon as the alarm goes off while you're still lying in bed. If not, you likely give thanks before grabbing a bite of breakfast. Or maybe you say a prayer for safety before heading out the door. And maybe if you're like me and you have a kind of a long commute, you make a point of praying on your way to work amidst the solitude of the car ride. Whatever the case, I'm assuming all of you say a prayer in the morning. But let me suggest that if you're not doing this already, you make a point of being more intentional in how you begin your day in prayer. If you're like me, and a lot of times you wake to a head full of thoughts about your day the moment you wake, make a point of kneeling beside your bed first thing to say more than just a passing prayer. As I've argued regarding posture in the Lord's Day liturgy, our souls and our bodies are connected so that how we present our bodies has an effect on the disposition of our hearts. Getting on your knees, or if you can't do that, sitting up on your bed, has a way of focusing your thoughts when you pray. In turn, this helps to ensure that you're doing more than just a little perfunctory prayer that gives little thought to the God to whom we pray and for the needs of the day. That doesn't mean that the prayer has to be long. After all, Jesus, he tells us we're not heard for much speaking. And it can be about those things that you're concerned about, such as today's headlines or your to-do list and maybe all the emails you had to respond to. But by committing these matters to prayer first thing in the morning, you are by your action acknowledging your need for God's help. By first praying rather than getting mad or anxious, you're acknowledging unless the Lord builds the house, your labors will be in vain. By committing your day to the Lord at the outset, you're acknowledging that the horse is prepared for battle, but it's the Lord who gives the victory. Thus, you can begin your day with confidence that everything doesn't depend on you. And that simple realization will better equip you for whatever tasks and obstacles lie ahead of you. Doesn't mean they're going to go away, but you'll be better able to face them. Second, before looking at your phone with its notifications, headlines, to-do lists, and emails, make a point of first looking to the Scriptures. Going to Scripture before going to our smartphone is another way we can pattern the morning to the reality of the gospel and Christ's Lordship. Here again, it doesn't have to be a long passage. It's just something to properly orient you to reality, toward reality rather than the lies we're bombarded with throughout our days. In my case, as you probably figured, I am not a morning person. My mornings are fairly hurried. I'm much more of a night owl. I like Winston Churchill's practice of taking a nap and then burning the midnight oil. So I do most of my scripture reading at night as part of my evening prayers. But starting the day just with a psalm, for example, has a way of reminding us of the truth of God's word and its perspective of reality. And so just like with a short prayer, it doesn't make the demands of the day go away, but it does put them in perspective and it helps to shape us into who we want to be. As one author put it, every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become. Because you become your habits. To assist you in beginning your day with Scripture, I have in the outline of your order of worship, in the back of your order of worship, a list of psalms that are particularly suited for mornings. While obviously many other psalms might be appropriate, the one that I've listed are typically, they're suited for mornings because in many cases they specifically mention offering praise or gratitude in the morning or they have a request for guidance, you know, to start the day. In doing so, they help set a focus, a peaceful start to the day. I provide those as suggestions. You're, of course, free to use other psalms or portions of Scripture. Okay? Kneel, pray, start with something, a psalm. Lastly, a third habit I would suggest considering may not work for everyone, especially depending on your schedule. But if possible, consider the possibility of a corporate prayer for the family before beginning your day or going on your way. Again, it doesn't have to be a long prayer. Just something to give you a greater sense of meaning and purpose before you head out the door. In fact, maybe what we're doing now is gathering by the front door before I leave to say prayer together. Perhaps by saying a prayer together before you leave to start the day, it'll eventually lead you to discover a different way to pattern yourself toward the day. If nothing else, perhaps the moment of rush and hurry can be displaced with a moment of prayer so that you're sent into on your day with purpose. By gathering to be sent, your daily liturgy can actually reflect the Sunday morning liturgy. Because just as the Lord gathers us on Sundays to send us out on mission, by quickly gathering to pray before being sent the rest of the days of the week can reinforce the fact that we're going out to serve the Lord in our calling remainder of the week. To that end, you might note there's a third page to the outline today. I've included the prayers that I use in the mornings from a Lutheran service book that I often use for my prayers. You'll notice there's two prayers there which can be used separately, or you can pray them together responsibly. I really like these prayers because they're specifically written for mornings. But again, you're completely free to pray as you like. If you have young children, for example, just you can use a simple prayer to for them to pray with you. Whatever you choose, consider if gathering before being sent might give you a new sense of purpose as you begin your day and put you in a better frame of mind regarding God's call on your life each day. In conclusion, my charge to you this morning is to keep the words of Scripture in your heart and to teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have gathered us together this Lord's Day before sending us out on mission. We have heard your word today. We pray, Lord, that we would meditate upon what we have heard and consider again if we are consciously going about our day living in the light of your presence and are endeavoring to do the things that Moses commanded to the children of Israel. To this end, Lord, be with us and help us as we consider all of our routines and habits, that we might use them as opportunities to become more like Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Let's continue to worship the Lord by bringing forth his tithes and our offerings. Things.